Hey everybody, welcome to the Creative Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Hunter, and you're in for a great show. Welcome back to another great episode of the Creative Podcast. My name is Andrew Hunter, and I'm your host. And you can describe me a lot of different ways, from being a podcaster, musician, photographer, wrestling fan, husband, Jesus lover. But if you just boil it down to just one phrase, you can call me a creative person. And that's why I'm here, to help you actually go ahead and help grow that creativity that's already inside of you. So you're in for a treat today on the show. I'm going to be discussing a really great topic, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get started, I do want to remind everybody, if you haven't already, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Store, and please subscribe, like the show, share the show, leave ratings and reviews on any of those different platforms. It helps the show tremendously in being able to grow and reach a bigger audience, so that way we can all grow together as creative people. So I really appreciate all of the support. I have been having more of a limited schedule with the podcast, and you know, that's just because my work schedule is different now, and I know I've been doing it for almost a month, but my body is still kind of fighting me on wanting to get up early and do stuff. And so I'm going to be working on that and getting more episodes out to you and more content out to you. If you have not already, make sure you're also subscribe to the YouTube channel I have. You can find it. It's the Creative Podcast on YouTube as well. On there, I actually post a lot of videos of me playing drums or just different music videos that I'm doing. But most of what I've been posting is playing drums. So that's actually been a really exciting thing for me to be able to post and share with everyone. Most of the time they're in black and white. I think it looks kind of cool. And most of the time I'm playing blues. So it just kind of seems to fit. So make sure you are subscribed there on YouTube as well. And of course, if you do have any questions or concerns or comments about the show, make sure to email the show at thecreativepodcast@gmail.com. And also follow the show on Twitter, thecreativepod, or @thecreativepod. All right, so with all of the necessary stuff out of the way, all the updates for everything, I do want to go ahead and get right into the topic for today. And I've actually been thinking about this a lot, and it's something that I really want to discuss with you, because I feel it's something that a lot of creative people don't really think about. Whenever we're trying to learn a certain concept in creativity, there are a lot of times where we learn the technique, but we don't learn the context to actually use the technique. So I'm going to speak to a lot of music because I feel like, for me, it's easier to discuss this concept in a musical term. But this can be any kind of creativity, from art to painting to writing, anything that you can think of. These same ideas cross over to any creative medium, even from painting or anything like that. So. One of the things I've been talking a lot with a very, very good friend of mine. His name is Jeffrey Bynum, and he's actually an amazing fiddle player, guitar player, songwriter, singer, just a fantastic human being, and one of my very best friends, and I'm glad to be friends with him. It's been something I've been really wanting to have happen for a long time, so it's definitely something that I'm very happy to be able to call him a friend. But we've actually been discussing a lot of concepts, you know, because he's not necessarily a drummer. So I play drum set. He plays the fiddle, and like I said, is a songwriter and guitar player. So we've been discussing, just in our downtime while we're all hanging out, you know, why would you do a certain thing here, or why would you do a certain thing there? And I've actually found it hard to kind of discuss that, not because I don't want to, because I do, but you know, we kind of went into this whole conversation about, well, it's hard to describe why I would do that. It's just I've been doing it so long that I just do it now. You know, like, say, for instance, there'd be a certain part of a song, maybe from a verse to a chorus. Everybody knows how this goes. You hear like a big boom, 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 and into the chorus. It might be different, but that's a very basic concept. But everybody can understand there's a transitional, like, beat that happens going from a verse of a song into a chorus of a song. It kind of builds up a little bit, and then it's like a big cymbal hit. Everybody understands that. And what we were discussing is, why would you, you know, what makes you do that as opposed to something else? Because he's actually working on some music and just, you know, putting some concepts down. So he was, you know, trying to get my insight into, you know, well, would you do this or would you do that? And I told him, I said, this really just depends. So what I really wanted, the reason I brought that story up is because it kind of got me thinking about, there are so many times that as musicians or artists of any type, we look at, well, why is that person using that phrase in that song in that particular place as opposed to this other phrase? And sometimes we can quantify, well, this is why, because it makes sense to have it here because it plays off this line or what have you, but sometimes it's hard to quantify. And that kind of made me think about it a little bit deeper. And as a musician, I've been playing drum set and been a musician for over 20 years, and I'm almost 30 now, so at least since the age of 10, I've been playing music, but probably a little bit younger than that. So one thing that I think about whenever I try to discuss these type of topics, like why would I do something here as opposed to there, is because of the fact that it's just something that after years of listening and playing, that's just become my language and how I would play something. A good example, I was actually talking to Jeff about this the other night, a fill that I hear myself play a lot, especially going back and watching myself on the recordings that I can discuss on YouTube, I play something that is referred to a lot of times as one of the Temptations drum beats. I think it was My Girl. You hear, you know, right at the beginning of the song, boom, yap, boom, dum, 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 dum. You know, it's a tom snare, then crash. It's a very simple fill, but it's something that I find myself playing more often than not. Which is, it is fine, because it's a very fun fill to play, and it sounds great, and it's simple, and it doesn't take up a lot of room, but it's something I find myself playing way too much, especially after listening back to recordings. And it's actually something Jeff had mentioned. He's like, yeah, I do hear and see you play that fill a lot. Again, it's not, we're not saying it's a bad thing, it's just like, you know, someone saying, what's up, dude? Or yeah, or no. It's just like saying a word, or a certain phrase, you know, a bunch, like you know how that happens. You know, we get, like, we hear a certain word, and we're like, that's kind of cool. Think about it this way. Everybody, for a time, luckily, at least right now in my life, haven't heard anybody say it in a while, but everybody was saying, oh, you're on fleek. Like, luckily, that caught on for a little bit and then kind of fell off. But it's something like that. It's just like a certain phrase or word you would say to kind of describe something or to you know, say something to someone. Same thing with like music and how we play music and what we, how we interpret music. We might play a certain fill here because that's just what we feel is needed for that certain line or musical phrase. So I really want to dig into why is it that we use certain techniques or certain phrases or certain patterns in certain situations. And I really want to get into this concept of learning, but being immersed into a certain atmosphere to learn. So what it is that I want to kind of get into, at least for the remainder of the episode, is the reason that we might play a certain fill is because that's what we listened to growing up. You know, I listened to a lot of Motown and a lot of like Casey in the Sunshine Band, so a lot of like jam band type stuff with horns and things like that. And I played a lot of, you know, funk and jazz and blues. And that's just kind of what I grew up on. So it makes sense that I would use a lot of Motown fills or jazz fills in my rock playing. It just makes sense because that's the language that I grew up speaking musically. But think about it this way. The same thing. Just because someone says soda or pop, depending on where you're at, it means the same thing. If you ask someone for a soda up north, they might not understand you right at first, but they'll get it. Or if you say pop in the south, they might not understand it at first, but they'll still bring you a soda. It's the same. It means the same thing, but it's said differently. Same thing with music. You know, just because a rock player plays a jazz fill or a jazz player plays a rock fill, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's different. But also, it could be because that's how they grew up. They grew up with a jazz background. Or for painters, they grew up with, you know, a background that's a little bit different. So they might be taking concepts that, for instance, you might use in an oil painting and putting that into an acrylic or a watercolor. Now, it might not work exactly, it might not carry over exactly from, you know, the oil painting to the watercolor, because they're two different mediums, but they might bring that kind of look or feel over to the watercolor to make something completely different. You know, same thing with music or any other creative art form. You know, one thing I see a lot in right now is with the design. I see a lot of different design elements brought from other, you know, other eras or other types of the medium, and bring it into, you know, maybe a newer version of itself, or maybe kind of a mashup. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But what I'm trying to get to is, if you really want to understand why you do a certain fill, or why a drummer or a guitar player plays a certain way, you really need to look and search out, what did they listen to growing up? You know, me and Jeff Bynum, the fiddle player I was just speaking of earlier, we were actually really geeking on John Mayer, and you know what makes John Mayer so incredibly good. And we kind of discussed, well, this is what he grew up listening to, you know, from blues to rock, you know, from like B.B. King to Eric Clapton. And you can see those influences on his playing so much. It's incredible. You know, we were actually talking about what makes John Mayer sound like he's so confident. It's because the players he listened to growing up had that confidence and that swagger to them. And that's what gives him that confidence and swagger, because he's using a lot of that same language. You know, he's definitely making his own sentences and you know, speaking his own words, but he's using a lot of that influence that he gained from listening to those great players in his playing. Same thing for you. How do you build confidence in what you're doing when you're using, especially when you're using new concepts? It doesn't always work when you're using new concepts. You're not always going to be the most confident. But it takes time to integrate that stuff into your language, into your vocabulary, or your vernacular. So it's very important to immerse yourself in that, in whatever you're listening to. For me, one of the things that I do, if I'm going to go and play jazz, the last thing I'll listen to is death metal. It's just the way it is. If I go into a jazz venue having just listened to, you know, country or rock or you know, blues maybe so, but if I go in listening to a completely different style of music than what I'm about to be playing, I do find it difficult sometimes to really lock in with that certain type of music. Same thing, I can only imagine with people that are like, you know, have English as a second language. It especially now, my job has really stretched me to be impatient listening to people speak different languages, but also having a very hard time speaking English and trying to decipher what they're saying. It is very you can do it. It's very difficult. So it's definitely something that is a challenge, speaking a different language, but it's definitely something that's worth the effort if you can have the patience to do so. You know, not everything that you listen to or look at in art or creativity is going to make sense to you at first. But if you take what you know and put in, you know, and try and see if what you know fits in anywhere in what you're listening to or looking at, that will help you to break down what is going on in the music or the art or any other bit of creativity that you might be looking at. But, you know, really what I'm discussing for today, I'm rambling just a little bit, but I'm trying to get my ideas out to help you guys understand, is immersing yourself in whatever form of art that you're trying to learn. It's really, really important that you do that, because then you'll be able to actually have a base of knowledge about how, not, you know, instead of just learning, a lot of drummers could just learn a certain, you know, drum lick, and then every time they play something, no matter what context it's in, they're going to play that drum lick. And that's great, but that also doesn't make any sense. You don't always want to, you know, say the same thing in every different language, because a word in English might be a curse word in another language. Does that make sense? So with that being said, you really want to look at the context that you're playing in and look at, you know, where you're playing and how you're playing, and does it make sense to do a certain thing? Now, sometimes you do want to break rules, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with breaking rules at all. You know, luckily, music is one of the most, you know, forgiving art mediums to break rules in, because you break a rule and it happens, and then it kind of goes away unless you're recording it, of course. But you can stretch what is considered, you know, commonplace in a certain style, and kind of bring in something completely different. You know, I actually did that the other night. Someone mentioned it over at Lou's Blues. They were playing kind of a bluesy, funky kind of jam, and I played kind of a take on a merengue pattern, which, you know, the guy's like, "Hey, were you playing a merengue pattern during the blues?" I'm like, "Yeah, a little bit, just a kind of a play on it." He's like, "It was interesting." He's like, "You kind of had me going there first. I didn't know what you were doing." He's like, "But it was interesting." So I kind of broke a little bit of a rule, but it worked out. Now, was it hard? Yeah, for me, I'm not much of a Latin player, but I have been listening to some Latin playing recently, and wanting to incorporate some of that playing and some of those textures into my playing. So it really has paid off a little bit. At least I hope so. I didn't record it, so I don't know. But it felt pretty good, and nobody was looking at me funny, so it was always a good thing. But that's one of the things. You need to immerse yourself in whatever style or art that you're looking to do, because that's really the best way to really be able to find your voice in that art. So that's really, I've kind of went about this the long way, but I wanted to make sure to give you guys something that you can really chew on and understand my perspective. But really dig into a language of art, whatever art form you might be in. You know, if you're a rapper, not only listen to your favorite rapper, but try and find out whatever your favorite rapper's favorite rapper was, and listen to that guy, and then go back as far as you can. Because if you can find the roots of a certain style, and then listen from the very beginning forward, you'll hear how that music evolved, and that will also educate you on how you could possibly help evolve that art form yourself. Now, I'm not saying everyone is going to make these great strides and completely, you know, revolutionize whatever art they're doing. That's not what we're all here to do. But what we are here to do is put our own spin on the art and whatever that we are creating. So really, the best way to do that is to understand what came before you, so that way you can have an educated perspective whenever you are trying to innovate or change something. So that's really what I want to challenge you guys to do this week, is I really want to challenge you to not only not speak out of context as an artist, but also to understand where what you're doing came from by just immersing yourself in whatever it is that you're doing. But also immersing yourself in different styles. If you're really trying to learn a jazz pattern, don't just learn a jazz pattern. Learn the style of jazz. Anybody can play ding 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 ding, but that's well and good. You know, anybody can do that pattern if they really try. Okay, but it won't have the same feeling. It won't have the same lilt that it would have had you immerse yourself in the jazz art and listen to some of the best players out there to really understand what makes this feel a certain way. Because playing a pattern is one thing, but playing the style or playing the song is a totally different concept. And that's something I think a lot of players, but also not just players, but also artists of all types, forget. They just say, "Well, I'm gonna do an oil painting, and this is the concepts that you use." Well, but you need to ask yourself, well, why are they doing this? What makes this concept commonplace in this medium? And, you know, asking questions is not a bad thing, but immersing yourself in that art will help answer those questions for you. So that's what I want to challenge you to do this week, is really immerse yourself in whatever it is you're trying to learn. Listen to anything you can get your hands on, or look at anything you can get your hands on in that art form. It will help you make the most educated, sometimes a guess at what you should be doing, but also it'll really help elevate your mind into thinking about what you're doing with that particular art form. So definitely push yourself this week. You know, for musicians, listen to music that you're really passionate about, But not just that, listen to that musician's favorite musician, and then go back from there, and really get an idea of exactly where, and like the lineage of that music that you're listening to, how it became so amazing that it just blows your mind. So, with that being said, guys, I do appreciate you being here with me today. It has been an honor talking with you today. Like I said before, please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Store. Rate and review the show. Share it with your friends. Twitter is at The Creative Pod, and you can send in questions to thecreativepodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to getting comments on Twitter and in the email of the success that you guys are seeing with this this topic about really immersing yourself in the art that you're doing, okay? So until next time, I do appreciate all the support, and please, please, please send me some successes with your creativity. Thanks, and have a great week.